You're listening to the Havoc Story Podcast. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Magnus Carlsen, and this is episode 34, A Spoonful of Spice, by Becca Grenikova. Since the dawn of time, legends say that humans have offered food and drink to powerful beings and creatures to appease their wrath or earn a little favor. Legends aside, it is true that food does have a remarkably calming effect on humans, and possibly rumored to be malevolent house spirits. Welcome to the home of young Shami, where a sincere effort to be helpful goes hilariously wrong. It's another delightful story from staff writer Becca Grenikova. Also back for her second story this season is Canadian voice actress Dallas McKenzie. I think you'll find that in her capable hands, this story will transport you effortlessly to a small village in Eastern Asia, where a little girl just wants to let her mother sleep in a few moments more. And after a sweet gesture like that, even a notoriously grumpy house spirit might find the heart to be amused. Please enjoy A Spoonful of Spice by Becca Grenikova.
A frenzied shoulder shake jolted me from my sleep. I sat up suddenly, wincing as the baby in my belly gave a swift, protesting kick. My niece Chami stared at me with wide eyes.
"Eaten," I spluttered. "Ugh, what are you talking about?"
Her eyes welled.
"I put too much gochujang in the offering!"
I sucked in a deep breath.
"Steady, lower your voice. What were you doing making the offering?"
As a priest's wife, it was my duty to cook the daily shrine offerings. Gojija, our house spirit, had enjoyed the same meal at the same time every day for centuries. "You were supposed to wake me as usual." Chami stared at her feet.
"You're so tired all the time now. I thought I could make it for you."
I rubbed my eyes. "Did you follow the recipe at least?"
Her voice wobbled.
"I didn't look at the recipe."
I flopped backward onto my pillow.
"Why not?" I moaned.
Recipes were ancestral gifts meant to bestow wisdom upon naive, bumbling descendants. Chami crawled onto the bed, snuggling into my side.
"You never use a recipe."
I caressed her head.
"Oh, Joksa,
I've been cooking the shrine offerings for years. I know them all by heart." She burrowed her head against my shoulder.
"Do you think he'll use a spoon to eat me, or..."
"He is not going to eat you."
"He tossed Susiuk into a well," she pointed out.
"Your uncle Siuk spat on a shrine. He deserved it." I realized that didn't sound comforting. "Besides, it might not be that bad. Bring me some of what you made." Though I couldn't eat from the portion intended for Gojija, I could partake in what remained in the pot. Chami ran out of the room and returned carrying cups filled with a night blue broth, bubbling with vegetables, noodles, and beef, and a plate of dark bread spread with swirls of thick sour cream. If she had prepared it correctly, the gochujang would offer only a hint of spice after the swallow. I dipped the proffered spoon into the soup. As I lifted it to my lips, Chami touched my arm.
"It'll hurt," she whispered.
I hummed noncommittally and took a sip.
"Blazing phoenix flames of reincarnation!"
I clapped my hand over my mouth to keep from spewing broth everywhere. All I could taste was stinging heat. My tongue blistered and the roof of my mouth seemed to shrivel. I burst out coughing, and Chami hurried to fetch me a cup of milk. I chugged it down, the creamy sweetness soothing the blistering ache. I snatched the bread smeared with sour cream and gnawed on that too. Its earthy tang smothered the rest of the spiciness, and I gave a relieved sigh.
"It's awful!"
Chami wailed. I patted her back as she sobbed. What was I supposed to do? Offerings took hours to prepare. There was no time to cook another one. But how could we send this to Gojija? Spirits were testy, emotional creatures, and our family history was rife with various conflicts. Food usually brought some semblance of peace, not disruption. Then again, no 8-year-old had ever gone freestyle with the shrine offerings. My mind raced. Leaving Chami weeping on my bed, I waddled out to the kitchens to consult with my husband, Jisoo, as he prepared to take the offering to the temple. "Which is worse?" I asked him. "Spirit scorching spice or sending nothing?" Jisoo groaned.
"What happened, Minji?"
Chami got inventive with the spices.
"I told her abstract art doesn't belong in the kitchen," he muttered, shaking his head. "I must bring something."
I handed him a cup of milk. "Good luck." "Don't squeeze my hand so tight." I tried to wiggle my fingers from Chami's grasp. She tightened her grip as we toured the shrine's sprawling labyrinthine gardens in my daily attempt to coax my body into labor. Intent on meditation, spirits passed by in their flickering and corporeal forms and let us be.
"Gojija didn't say anything to Sujisu?"
Chami asked again for the 15th time. "I've told you before, the priests don't wait for the spirits to appear once they've offered the food. Jisoo certainly wouldn't break that tradition now." Over a week had passed since the faithful offering, and we waited in dread for Gojija's well-planned revenge. He'd taken months before tossing Siuk into the well. A spirit approached, and Chami kept me between her and its wavering form.
"Oh, go ahead, use me as a shield," I grumbled.
I nodded respectfully to the spirit, expecting it to ignore us. But this one lingered, its form solidifying to reveal a hideous, goblin-like face.
I bit back a curse.
Chami squeaked and huddled against my side, clutching my robes. Gojija had found us.
"Chami of Gojija."
Our house spirit pressed a clawed hand against his robed chest in greeting.
"Don't eat me!"
Chami wailed. His thick, blood-red lips curled.
"I haven't eaten humans in millennia."
Chami gaped at his long, shining fangs. "He's only joking," I whispered in her ear, though his raspy laugh wasn't reassuring. Gojija knelt to look Chami in the eye. She gulped. I resisted the dangerous urge to hurry her away from his sneering smile.
"Thank you,"
Gojija said. "What?" I squawked, then gripped my stomach as Gojija turned a bulging, spice-red eye on me.
"Why do you think I've been so grumpy all these years?"
He grumbled.
"I've had the same boring offerings for centuries."
"But you always ate them," I stammered.
"I'm a foodie,"
he hissed.
"We eat anything. I couldn't even complain, because apparently it's rude to insult an offering given with good intentions."
He rolled his eyes and turned to Chami.
"Thank you for bringing spice into my life."
As he continued his lumbering stroll, he called back.
"Gojijang was named after me. Be generous with it."
The next offering I prepared, I put in enough Gojijang to make a dragon's eyes water.
You've been listening to A Spoonful of Spice by Becca Gremikova. Narrated by Dallas McKenzie. We appreciate your support for the podcast by listening and subscribing on your favorite podcatcher, or by following at Havoc Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. For more stories by today's author and many others, visit Havoc online at gohavoc.com. Unlimited access to over 500 short stories is only $5 a year. Or subscribe with Patreon for exclusive giveaways, early access, and other supporter rewards. As always, thanks for listening to the Havoc Story Podcast, and we'll see you next time. This is Havoc.